Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good morning, Georgia. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg, with just Greg right now. Mr. Crenshaw is going to be checking in probably about 20 minutes after. We're still waiting on Dr. Dale Yake, who's going to come in here. He and I are going to hang out for a while here. I'm going to hang around, do Sports Insider with him later on. But obviously going to be talking tournament. We've got games being played right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and WAOK. We've got the Hawks game, Philadelphia 76ers, pregame at 7 o'clock, tip-off at 7:30, and, of course, followed by second-round action. And second-round action starts earlier on WAOK at noon 15, if you want. That'll be the tip-off, and then followed by another game about 2:45. So all those games here under the intercom umbrella, if you will. We started off the show. I'm going to keep saying we, forgive me. Sam's not here, but Bo has been jumping in and giving his thoughts. And my takeaway from these first two games as we get ready for round two here, not many really penetrating stories. I mean, things started off with Auburn giving everybody a scare. They came back and won. Tom Izzo, though, is his getting on his kid. And don't call it yelling. Call it coaching. Call it coaching the kid. Aaron Henry, freshman forward, got an earful. And see, this is the generation where, I don't mean generation him, meaning we're in a part where everything you do is picked up on camera. That's what I mean by generation. Wasn't taking a shot at millennials. You can't do anything without it being seen. And so that was a conversation this past week. Ja Morant getting a triple-double. This is a guy who has been, Murray State has not been seen by as many people that don't follow college basketball as you'd like to. And to see this kid, he is going to just blow up during this tournament, I believe. And the comparisons have been made to Mr. Johnson, that other kid from Michigan State who came out, not Michael, more like Magic. Those comparisons have been made. Also, this past week, yesterday it was tough to see Georgia State lose to Houston. But with the exception of Liberty beating Mississippi State, UC Irvine taking care of Kansas State, any mind blowing upsets? You were talking, Bo, earlier. You actually thought there were people who thought Yale was going to take care of LSU. These guys were a 14 seed. Who was saying that?
It might have just been people trying to hate. There was a lot of people, though, that actually thought that this was going to be one of the upsets of the tournament. I guess the way that they went out of the SEC tournament.
Right.
After winning the regular season SEC.
Do they still – man, what is it about your state where people go into these big tournaments with a chip on their shoulder? I'm telling you, the Saints next year are going to have a brick on their shoulder for every game they play. I feel sorry for the Falcons. I mean, listen, you want them to win, but they're going to know they were in a fight if they do win a game. And now LSU, with their coach being thrown out, you guys got like this angst in that state that everybody's like just, holding you down. What do you
we
see
play that? Very well with chips on our shoulders.
All right, man.
But you're right. There is, every time somebody in Louisiana, wins, there's a lot of people that want to just,
So anyway,
step on the boot, man. I don't get it.
What? And again, let me get back to this thing here because really, Duke did what they were supposed to do. I've been reaching for stories here, and for me, it's gone along. Now maybe starting today, we'll get some stuff to talk about. Zion, eh. Listen, I won't call him perfect, but he's done what he does. And so there's, nothing really more, at least for me, to talk about. I know I'm doing a sports show here, but I mean, I can't sit here and intelligently analyze something that isn't there and tell you this is going to happen. That's going to happen. My perspective is I'm watching this and I'm enjoying it. Because that's what you're supposed to do during March Madness, right? Watch this play out. See what happens next. I mean, I realize there's those of you, you know, putting a couple bucks on it and feel like you need to predict what's happening. But I have gotten so far away from that because I didn't enjoy it. I'm enjoying this now. I really am. I'm going to continue to. I'm not going to get worked up into a lather by a big upset. I'm going to say this is what happens in March Madness. This is what happens. I did talk about, though, last hour that I was surprised. Not that the conversation surrounding how Coach Izzo was coaching Aaron Henry. I'm just still amazed. This is just me. That these guys have dodged the conversation of what's going on at Michigan State or what will continue to happen at Michigan State going back to the scandal, the Larry Nassar thing, and that dark cloud that's hanging over that university. And it's not like Michigan State hasn't played some national TV games, but for whatever reason, they haven't talked about it. Listen, they tried to create, and in the minds of many, Jay Billis being one, I'll just use him as the main voice over there as college basketball at ESPN, that the tournament tried to create a conversation when they made sure that Minnesota played Louisville in that first game. Now, you can look at it both ways and you can say, well, you know, that was too bad and so on and so forth. But then from a business standpoint and from a TV standpoint, from a programming standpoint, you kind of understand why they did it. And if you don't know the backstory, Minnesota is coached by Richard Pitino, Rick's kid, obviously. In the first game against Louisville, Pop's old team. So maybe they thought by putting these guys together in the first game that there was going to be conversations surrounding that. I don't know why the NCAA would want to take a shot at Rick Pitino. I mean, he's low-hanging fruit. He's gone. He's over in another country or went over another country. And by the way, won. Of course, the other team didn't come out for the second half. But, you know, he went over there and continued to coach. A coach is a coach. But that was something that was, in the minds of many, manufactured. Well, okay. Now it's over. Minnesota won. You want to talk about the amount of Big Ten teams that are in the tournament? That's a story, especially when you don't think of the Big Ten as a powerhouse in college basketball. But for whatever reason, this year, they got a bunch in there. 404-741-0929. I had folks call up last hour if you want to get in. And any thoughts that you have. What am I missing? Because, like, again, I'm enjoying the tournament. I know you're going to get all kinds of people that do what I do, and they come on, and they're going to bring you numbers, and they're going to bring you this, and they're going to tell you that's going to happen, and this is going to happen. I'm going to tell you, I'm talking like you guys. I'm looking forward to sitting back with whatever, you know, beverage and whatever meal and watching what happens next. And by the way, seeing what time I have yet to see. I shouldn't do this, but I got so many people blowing my phone up. This Geico commercial. My Geico commercial has been running throughout this tournament. I got people from Chicago. I got people from the West Coast calling me that saw it. Is that you and that guy? Yeah, that's me. In the Ernie Johnson commercial. Sam, I told Sam a month or so ago. We did it actually before the NBA All-Star weekend. And they said, hey, you know, there's a possibility we're going to run that during March Madness. I went, okay, fine. And now it's all over the place. And so I got people. But yet, I have not seen it. I've still not seen it. And I don't really care to. I ain't one of the people who want to, you know, watch yourself when you do that sort of thing. But that's one of the things that I'm looking forward to seeing, but I'm not looking for it, if that makes any sense to you. But again, the one thing that I take away from this week was the reaction to what Izzo did. And he was just coaching. Just coaching. And we get into a time now where people want to, you know, start spewing names out to the 20 to 23-year-olds. Actually, the 18 to 22-year-olds, if you will. And how they're reacting to being taught or coached or their feelings and all of the stuff that we feel they should be harder. They've been called all kinds of names. Well, you know, we were called, whatever age you are, by the generation before us. They had names for us, and we weren't tough enough. You look at the athletes that played before us that didn't have the equipment that we had if you played sports growing up. And they considered us soft. Or you're not really playing the game because your equipment's better than ours, so you get to hit it farther. Or you get to hit it harder. Or you get to run faster because we didn't have Nikes when we were growing up. I'm in that minority. I don't got a problem with millennials. I really don't. I mean, as a group, there's people who just, you know, I love hearing Stephen A. when he goes off on, yeah, soft as whatever. I just laugh at that. Everybody's hooked up different. That's what makes this place great. Everybody's hooked up different. 404-741-0929. I'm going to give him a second to get his breath, and then we're going to be joined by Dr. Dale Yake. Also coming up later on this hour, we got Mr. Crenshaw. He is going to check in from where he is. I'm not sure if he's at his eventual location or he's en route. But I'll let him talk about that. Going to have Dr. Dale Yake join us. Coming up top of the hour, we're going to hear from Deshaun Tate, who we always go to when it comes down to college basketball. And I will be sitting in with Dr. Dale in that 8 o'clock hour talking more. And we're going to – well, there's a segment that they do during Sports Insiders, and I can't think of the name of it, but he's going to bring it, and we're going to talk about it. That's all I'm going to say. The only thing I care about is making sure I get the sponsors right. So, again, 404-741-0929. The other events of this past week had to do with a couple baseball players. And if Mr. Crenshaw doesn't get to us, I'm going to give you my thoughts on a guy who retired this week who should be unanimous into the Hall of Fame. We'll see. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Morning, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. I forgot to leave out Georgia. I left it out. Doggone it. Anyway, I was kind of snickering at the end of last break because coming in here huffing and puffing, which he doesn't normally do because this is a man who runs triathlons, was Dr. Dale Yake, founder and CEO of PT Solutions. And you tell me, well, first of all, good morning, man.
Good morning, Greg. You know, you sound great this morning. You're in full voice this morning.
I'm doing what I can with what I got. It's been an interesting week, and I don't like doing this by myself. I really don't. I just don't.
You do it pretty well, man. You showed me yesterday your
I was looking smooth, wasn't I?
You had the three-piece suit on. Greg, I've never seen Greg in a three-piece suit, or a suit, period. You came in with the shined-up shoes on a... What were you doing yesterday?
Well, we'll talk about that during casting call.
All right, got to hold that for
yeah.
casting call.
And you've got a great story. So I want to thank you for coming in, spend a little time with me, because I'm going to spend a little time with you and your show, Sports Insiders, which starts normally at 8 o'clock, so and hang around there. But the guy who's usually in with me, Mr. Sam Crenshaw, the most beloved person in Atlanta broadcasting.
I don't know about all that.
that is true, Sam.
I'm telling you, man. I just ride his coat. I've been doing this longer, but for whatever reason, in the short amount of time he's been in radio and, of course, his television career, he's just beloved. He's beloved. So anyway, Mr. Crenshaw is not physically here this morning. He is he's on the road. So where are you, man?
I'm down the road in wonderful Savannah, where the Georgia Athletic Directors are going to have the conference, where their conference is already underway. And I'm here with them this weekend, going to emcee the Hall of Fame induction ceremonies tomorrow. But great to be with the athletic directors from the high school athletic departments across the state of Georgia. It's a big think tank. I exchange a lot of ideas, what works at your school, when it can work at our school. There'll be some new innovations that are coming about. And, of course, yes, Greg, they do have an exhibit, an exhibition of new equipment and technology that I'm sure will include a basketball shot clock, whether or not folks down here will buy them and take them back to their school. We don't know. But it's a cool place to come and talk about those type things and hear about.
Doc, if you don't know, I have been.
I hear it.
You've heard me.
You guys are talking.
Why
about
don't
clock.
They have a shot clock in high school basketball?
I'm going to find out exactly how much one costs, Greg, and I'll let you know. How much
I can tell you,
costs.
It's $23.50 over at Home Depot. Go pick one up. Okay, maybe $123, but it ain't a lot of money. They got the money.
I don't know. Everybody does not have the money. And I think that's the other thing that that the athletic directors exchange ideas. Different ones come from different circumstances, and how can they still go? They have a degree of the same things across the board they offer for their athletic program. So that is something else that they love to talk about when they get together here in Savannah.
All right. Well, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Mr. Crenshaw's on the road, but I'm sure you followed sports from this past week. What is your takeaway from the tournament, from other events of this past week in the sports world? Because you're not going to get a chance to throw that out since you're not here.
Well, you mentioned, first of all, the retirement from baseball that you had to get up at 0:30 in the morning to see if you wanted to. And just so happened I was up because my wife gets up that time of day to go to work. I said, oh, Ichiro's playing. So I got a chance to watch some of it.
Okay.
But, obviously a Hall of Famer, and it was, something to glimpse. Him returning home and giving the big ovation, the big hero's welcome, as rightfully so. But this, of course, the big show this week is a tournament week, and, the favorites, many of them won, but it's about the mid-majors, and our mid-major, Georgia State, didn't play well last night, didn't come through, and now there are a lot of questions about things going forward, with certain players, and even with Coach Ron Hunter. As we noted, he's on a lot of wish lists. There are a lot of colleges that will talk to him. We'll hear his name bantered about quite a bit between now and the Final Four in Minneapolis. And, we'll see what happens. There's a lot on the drawing board for Georgia State basketball. There's due to be a groundbreaking at some time this year on a new arena for Georgia State basketball. And a lot of that is due to the work that he's done to really change a culture and get people to focus on basketball. There's still, even though they lost last night, they're still the best college basketball program in the state of Georgia. But they're not the only big major. How about Cal Irvine? When last time you paid attention to Cal Irvine?
Yeah, really.
They are the best college. They're the best college basketball program in California, better than Stanford, better than UCLA, right now. So I mean, the mid majors are something. And you mentioned Harrison Murray State. They have our attention for obvious reasons. And you don't want to get into a shooting contest with Wofford. I mean, those guys can just light it up. And we're finding out about guys like Fletcher McGee. That's the cool thing about, March Madness and about the tournament. Liberty winning a tournament game for the first time ever in school history. That's the part that makes it a lot of fun.
What was off the court? Well, I still kind of connected to the court, but the stories on the side, the Tom Izzo situation, did that stuff stick with you this past week? And we've talked about, and we've used the word millennials. I hate going back to that word, but when you're talking about kids, that's the tag they've been given. And how, when Izzo was coaching, I ain't talking about yelling, I'm talking about coaching this kid this past week, and the conversation that blew up surrounding that. Did that surprise you?
Now, I'm curious to hear what Dr. Dale would have to say about that, because you're talking about coaching the kid up. You're talking about the emotional part of the game. And some people I read on social media said, well, yeah, sure, you have to play it. It's sad when the coach has more enthusiasm and more intensity than the player does, if that's what that reflected. I think it's just a missed assignment, and Coach said he ought to know better. He's been playing this program for a full season. We shouldn't let that happen. And they're on the big stage now, and this is showtime. But Dr. Dale, what do you think about that? Not just the physical, but the emotional part of players being ready to play at their best at this time.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting story, because I think you can demoralize a kid pretty well. I've had it happen to me. You probably have in your history, too. The old school guys say you can say anything to an athlete, and the old school guys say you could scream and yell and do all that stuff, but everybody got demoralized back in those days too.
Right.
And I think the same thing is true here. Is you, what is he set up for now as you put the kid under the bus, right? I think coaching is a delicate balance, that you've got to prepare the athlete before they get on the court, but you also have to realize that these are kids and they're distracted by butterflies at times, and even at the highest level of basketball that can happen, and obviously happen in this case.
And it's amplified by the fact that everything is on TV.
Oh, yeah.
Everything is on TV. So you got coaches now dealing with not only that, but then the social media, which really didn't play into this particular story, but that's got to be a part of their resume too. How they deal with that in recruiting kids. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Mr. Crenshaw's on the road. Dr. Dale Yake has joined me up here. Got Sam on this week. Getting his thoughts from this past week. Tournament, Ichiro retiring. All right, what was your first thought when you saw Mike Trout's contract signing? Okay, that's a good one.
I was trying to figure Yeah, that's just simply massive. It's simply massive. And so we wondered if he was going to end up on the East Coast, possibly in Philadelphia. It looked like that won't happen. He's flying down for a long haul there on the West Coast, there with the Angels. And okay, now let's see where it goes. I mean, yeah, he's getting the most money. He's playing in L.A. And to me, Philly's been kind of hitting out there. Now let's see what happens to really and put him out there and put him on that pedestal that he is the best player in baseball. And, you know, with on the East Coast, we still get glimpses of him. But let's see what happens with his team to make us pay attention and make us see that he is the best player and should be the face of Major League Baseball right now.
I thought that was a complete, not in a mean way slap, but a slap in itself from Philadelphia, because it wasn't his agent. This wasn't a Scott Boras thing. Scott Boras did what he did for Bryce Harper, and he got him his money. But the Angels let it be known that we have a generational player. That's the way I took it. And the amount of money that was given to him, that number, even though once the numbers settled, it came out to like 426. But let's round it up to 430. All right? That's $100 million more. And I told the story about how A-Rod, when he signed his contract, the agent got involved. And I believe it was Boras, too, where he made sure that A-Rod got double the existing biggest American sports contract just to send a message. And I think that was what was this happened this past week.
Message sent, message received. But like I said, you know, we're about a week away from seeing people play on the field, and let's see if it does. You know, because my thing is this: you got this great, highly paid player, and your team in position to make the playoffs. You know, that's not the greatest look either. It puts a lot of pressure on Trout to get the team there, even if he's only responsible for one place in a nine-player lineup. He was okay. He's getting all this money. He's Superman. Let's see what he delivers. So, you know, let's see if he's ready to shoulder up and ready to deliver that way this season. That's going to make it interesting.
That is Mr. Sam Crenshaw. It's usually Sam and Greg here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, on a Saturday and Sunday morning. Mr. Crenshaw is on the road. But let me just tell you something special. There's something unique that's going to happen this upcoming week. We should let people know about that has to do with your schedule. Do you mind?
No, go ahead.
You ready for this, folks? Who don't get a chance to listen to Sam during Monday through Friday? Mr. Crenshaw is doing prime time this Thursday, this upcoming Thursday. You will be
Thursday or Wednesday?
Oh, is it Wednesday? Excuse me. Wednesday night, you will be doing 7 to 11.
Yes.
Congratulations. You're in the big time. You're going to wear a suit when you come in here? You work in the big room. Work in the big room.
I don't know about that. I'm just looking forward to being in on it. And, you know, it's fun. It's a shift and just being part of the weekday. So it's going to be fun. I'm not, you know, going to dress up anything any different. You just come in and have some fun.
All right, man. Anyway, listen, let's have fun this weekend. You deserve it. You know, obviously they have the right MC. Dr. Dale, there's a picture of Sam from, there was an event a week or so ago with the mayor's office, and Sam was down there, and he had, you know, he reached into his closet for a suit. When he goes out and about, when we ain't in the studio, the man is smooth as a gravy sandwich.
Oh, I've seen Sam in a suit, man. Now, I got to tell you, Sam, I have been at football games at high schools, right, where the 15, 16-year-old kids swoon over Mr. Sam Crenshaw, because that's the man when he shows up at a high school game. There's no doubt.
Listen, Pops, you travel safely and have fun while you're down there, all right?
We'll do that. Like I said, I found out how much that shot clock costs.
Would you be the point person to get the shot clock?
Greg's going to pay the overage, Sam. Yeah. He's going to pay whatever.
Yeah, that's the thing. The guy says, all right, he wants to have a shot clock. You go pay for it. I tell him, Greg's taking it on the
right. Travel safely, my man. I'm looking forward to get you back here.
All right, man. You guys have a great day.
All right. That's Sam Crenshaw on the route. Down there in Savannah, Georgia. I don't know why I'm doing a bad Vince Dooley impression, but Savannah, every time I say that name, I just feel like. Again, 92.9thegame.com. I wanted to ask you, because we just have a minute or so here left. I want to get into the Trout thing with you, but I also want you to give me, because of what happened this past week with Ichiro, your top five leadoff hitters of all time. I, okay, because yeah. I think Ichiro's number two, right? So I want to get into yours. It's Sam and Greg with Dr. Dale, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Morning, Georgia. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's normally Sam and Greg. Ms. Crenshaw's out. Mr. Doc Dale Yake has come in here. Actually, it was redundant there. Is it Mr. and Doctor? Anyway, we are going to dip our toe into a couple conversations that I had earlier in the show about events of this past week, and one of them was the retirement of Ichiro. And my stance on his retirement, and do people have an appropriate appreciation for what they saw when they watched this guy during his time here? And then take into account that he was already a star when he got here. So I ask you, we kind of figured it was going to happen a year or so ago, a couple years ago, as a matter of fact. But he came full circle, started in Japan, retired in Japan, and the numbers are what they are. But this guy coming here and doing what he did, your thoughts on his career?
Well, first of all, I think beyond just the baseball career, I think he broke down stereotypes of Japanese players at positions. He's the first position player of significance in Major League Baseball. So I think there's a perspective. Hideo Nomo had come, but I think Ichiro broke down that stereotype that players from around the world can come and play American baseball and still be at the level or better than the American player. So I think that changed the perspective. I think if we think back when Ichiro came, like, man, this guy can't play. I know he was great in Japan, but he can't play here, and he showed that
up. Parks are smaller. Right. His hits don't count. Pete Rose still isn't counting his hits.
Yeah, to hit, I think he obviously set a record, 267 hits in a season. Right. There's a lot of milestones this guy did, but I think the most – when I think of him, consistency. Exactly. I think just plain old consistency is to do that for 18 years and bat 311 career batting average, and really for the Seattle Mariners, I think it was over 320 in his history of Seattle. So – yeah, it's impressive. It's an impressive career.
And I think that he got a – again, there's a difference in when you play in the East Coast as opposed to the West Coast. You kind of get away with a little bit more in the West Coast because the eyeballs aren't on you. The newspapers out there aren't as prevalent as they are in the East, which is another reason why I think Mike Trout – well, listen, the guy's got talent, you know, spilling out over the cup. But would he be that player if he played for the Yankees or the Red Sox?
Yeah, now Mike Trout's a completely different discussion because here's a guy, Greg, that we probably don't follow him because of East Coast bias and all the things we got sitting here in Atlanta. But this guy's 10 wins above replacement, which puts him up there with like Babe Ruth
exactly.
Players, right? So he probably should have made more money, honestly. And if he had gone to free agency, he probably would have made more money. But I think he took the security knowing, hey, I don't have to go through that free agency circus like these guys went through this year. And he basically took that off the table. But I think he probably could have made much more money, actually, and probably would have been north of $500 million. So now Mike Trout, why did he stay with the Angels is more of a curious thing, right? Because they've not had a great track record here during his time there. I think they probably have one of the better farm systems right now in Major League Baseball. And so I think he's interested in seeing what those young kids do coming up. He's a baseball historian. He talks effectively about baseball. It's a great thing. I think it's a good thing for baseball. Now, would it have been better had he played in the East Coast so we could all see him on a more regular basis? I think so. But no, that's a great player. And if you're going to pay somebody that much money in baseball, he deserves it just as much as anybody else, and obviously more than anybody else.
I was just going to say more than anybody else because he, you know, the phrase generational player is attached to him.
Yeah, I don't follow Angels baseball every day. I don't know if you do either.
But you follow baseball.
That's right. You follow baseball, and every day the guy is a highlight, and not just because he hits for power, bats for average. He's got speed on the bases. He's maybe not the best center fielder, but he's playing in the middle of the diamond too, man. Right. I mean, it's not like this dude's not he's playing in left field or something, and you never get the ball hit to you. He's like the engineer of the defense, and so he's more than serviceable as a center fielder. I think it's going to be interesting who they put around him now and how many dollars are spent around him. And the same thing could be said for Philadelphia, right? How much are you going to spend to put around a guy that's already making $500 million?
But the thing is, I think to get back to the conversation about him being on the West Coast, even though he's a Philly guy, there's something to be said for peace of mind. And he's living in L.A. Okay, yeah, say what you will about Anaheim. He's playing in Anaheim, but he's living in L.A.
No offense, to Philadelphia.
Exactly. Right. I know you're a Pennsylvania dude, but still, life out there is a lot easier than would it be were he here.
If you have money.
He's had money.
Yeah.
Okay, now, you want to compare baseball? I mean, listen, baseball money, even as a rookie, is better than most people in America.
Of course. Yeah,
okay,
of course.
So he's living out there playing baseball with a team, and by the way, they stuck Albert Pujols behind him. Let's not discount the fact that that's going to handcuff them a little bit too until they get rid of that contract.
Correct.
And who's going to pick that up? Yeah, I feel sorry for some of these teams that got those, you know, them.
Well, that's the gamble you take. I mean, Pujols, at his time, we were having this similar conversation, by the way. I mean,
but we're having a different one.
Pujols is a great player now. I mean, at the time this contract was signed, Greg.
He was. But you know the conversation that was going on around him, which has nothing to do with Mike Trout. And it's great that we're not having that anymore. But it was always about what if with Albert, because we were coming out of the steroid era. Sure. And we would hate to find out that Albert Pujols was one of those guys and didn't want to lump him into that category.
Yeah, we could talk about injuries all day. The other guy that had a big contract in his era, right, that was probably considered to be one of the best players of his era is Joe Mauer, right? And Joe Mauer had the same deal. So for Minnesota. And so that guy obviously had concussion problems. Pujols has had the foot problems. Now, hopefully Trout does not have some type of chronic type injury that's going to lead to a downfall in his career as we go forward here. But that has not been the case thus far.
This generation's Mickey Mantle? Is that hyperbole?
Yeah, no, I think it's correct. I think he's right up there. He's up there
without
the
injury.
Without injuries, probably in the top 10 players in history probably right now as he sits today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.